Let us look at the legal status. I don't think any sovereign government, or for that matter, the cryptocurrencies, private miners, will not allow the sovereign government to bring a legal status as far as the cryptocurrencies are concerned. But the governments are slowly entering in different formats. And the legal status varies from country to country and still undefined, or it's still in a changing form. Some countries have explicitly allowed their use and trade, while others have banned it or restricted it. There is an absolute ban on trading or using in some countries and implicit ban in other countries. Absolute ban means no. Anybody found trading can be penalized or jailed also. Implicit means implying that it is a ban, but unofficially allowing the usage. In Russia, they are legal but not allowed for purchase of goods. Mind you, they are legal. Cryptocurrencies are legal, but they are not allowed for purchasing of the goods. So why are they allowed? What is their usage? And they have become a tool to evade economic sanctions. That is where the biggest factor arises. Economic section, I will explain to you in a different chapter. Then you will be able to understand why Russia started allowing the movement of cryptocurrencies. Russian and Iranian economists may use it to bypass the global SWIFT system through decentralized blockchain technology. America and European countries have applied sanctions on Russia and Iran since quite some time. Iran, quite some time. Russia, now with the Ukraine war, they have applied sanctions. And to avoid those sanctions, blockchain technology is now being used by this particular, especially these two countries, and part recognition of cryptocurrencies is being granted because of this. We now look at the electronic currency. You have seen digital currency, you have seen virtual currency. But overall, they are a form of electronic currency. Hard electronic currency does not have the ability to be disputed or reversed. Once a hard electronic currency is created, it cannot be disputed or it cannot be reversed. That is the hard currency. It is nearly impossible to reverse a transaction, as it is very similar to cash. A 1 rupee note once printed and used, circulated in the market, it's very hard to reverse that note unless the demonetization comes up. But the system is cheaper to operate and transactions are instantaneous, immediate transactions. Examples of the hard currencies are Western Union, ClickX, Bitcoins, etc. You know, many people living in foreign countries, they want to transfer their earnings, their salaries which they get over there, to India or to a different country. They use the Western Union and they'll pay their currency over there where they are working and where they have received their salary in a foreign currency, and Western Union will give the equivalent in Indian currency over here in India or maybe other country. Now, no currency movement takes place in such transaction. Only a hard electronic message will come from that country to this country, and payment will be done. This is a hard electronic currency. Soft electronic currencies, again, on the other hand, are the opposite of hard electronic currencies. Payment can be reversed within a clearing time. And a hard currency can become a softened currency with a third party service entering the picture. Apart from Western Union or ClickX, etc., if a third party enters the movement of that particular hard currency, examples are all PayPal, your any type of credit or debit cards. They are soft currencies, converting the hard currency into soft currency. Your credit card gets money into the card in the form of a hard currency. And when you swipe the card, make a particular payment, you have to convert it to soft electronic currency. And then only it is converted and it becomes value which you want to pay. So the conversion takes place by means of third party services. All debit cards, credit cards, PayPal, they are all third parties, private parties. And of course, they have got country-specific applicabilities. Even cryptocurrency or virtual currency or electronic currency have got certain specific applicabilities depending on country to country. New York has got a virtual currency called BitLicense. Marshall's Group of Islands currency is called their sovereign. Canada CAD coins are similar to Ethereum. Now, Ethereum is a different type of Bitcoin again. So, limited usage is there in Canada. China is developing its own private digital currencies. Denmark uses mobile pay, a smartphone application for transferring money. We are also using it over here in India. Ecuador, System de Dinero Electronico, that is electronic monetary system. Netherlands, they have got virtual currency called DNB coin. Now, these are again a form of cryptocurrency creation converted from hard electronic currency to soft electronic currency by backing of fiat money from the respective sovereign states. In India, we have got UPI system, Unified Payments Interface. This is an instant real-time payment system. You and me, we are using it day in and day out everywhere. Russia has got Yandex, that is electronic payment service and digital currency. Switzerland has got ZUG, which converts any Bitcoin into a Swiss currency. Any Bitcoin which has been created, Switzerland is allowing it to be converted to Swiss currency. UK is using the blockchain technology, and based on that, they are forming their own digital currency. London's transport system, that is using an Oyster card system. We are also using a transport card system in India. We have started FastTag. usage, you know about it. It's similar to that London's card system. Hong Kong has got Octopus card system. Japan's Felicia is a contactless RFID smart card. I mean, virtually, if you look at these FASTag and all these types of card systems, they are all similar to RFID-based smart cards. Netherlands has got Chipnix electronic cash system. Now, let us look at the currencies which are being used in the global trade. What are the different formats? What are the different forms? The speed of settlement, foreign trade is such where under the present system, transaction between an importer and exporter, if there has got to be movement of hard currency, virtual currency, with the resultant exchange rate system, takes at least 5 to 7 days, maybe in certain cases 15 days also, to be moved from country of A to B. That means from buyer to seller, the transaction movement of hard currency, fiat currency, takes a lot of time. And therefore, this has become a good form of settlement as far as foreign trade is concerned. Import and export transactions. Now, they say that settlement for cross-border payment is faster under these conditions. Of course, it varies from same business day to 5 days. But digital currencies that rely on decentralized ledgers, money could be sent and received within seconds and around the clock, 24/7, 365 days, money can be sent and received through the digital format. No need of waiting time at all. And therefore, future regulatory compliance requirements on digital currency service providers and foreign exchange controls may have an impact on the speed. You would be happy in dealing with a system which gives you your money immediately. And that is going to have an impact on the government's systems, regularizing this method. Digital currencies could also provide alternative payment methods to allow consumers and merchants to be connected with international buyers and sellers. You are buying goods through Amazon, etc. Sometimes you buy an item which is imported by Amazon. And so, for those international buyers and sellers, they are now being connected with this system. Look at the implications. International trading community needs to capture the opportunities of this new age by closing the digital divide. Now, yes, the system is there, but are you ready? Is the international trading community, that is, are all the importers, exporters ready with the digital format or not? Yes, you need to be ready for this. The advancement of payment technology needs to be accompanied by digitization of the trade. Each importer, each exporter has got to be totally digitized. Then only this operation can be successful. The benefits of digital currencies will be limited due to lack of legal support for e-documentation and e-signatures. That is, if you start looking at sending a hard copy of your invoice or bill of lading or airway bill, then it's again delay. In place of that, you need e-documents only with e-signatures only. That is a virtual document prepared through the computers, moved through the computers by using a DSC, that is digital signature. Financial institutes, of course, are offering settlement through digital currencies, and retailers have started to accept the same. So, I don't know how many of the importers and exporters are ready with this kind of system to transact within their organizations. I will be asking all of you again and again, yes, are you ready? Well, let's wait for answer. Thank you. Yeah, look at this Bitcoin now. Is this the world currency which is going to come about? Answer, I cannot give you answer. It is only you, future generation, will be able to answer this question. Thank you.